Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schminman. Join us on Monday, August 31st at 12 noon Eastern, 7 p.m. Israel time for a virtual tour of the rarely displayed Isaiah scroll, one of the most remarkable Dead Sea Scrolls, with museum educator Alana Kaplan. Sign up at ouwomen.org/siyum. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shelby Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Gimel. This is the 53rd perek of Yeshayahu, and we're going to continue on the topic that we ended last perek on, which is a discussion about the clarity which the other nations will have regarding their past mistreatment and misunderstanding of Am Yisrael. And it's a fascinating time to be reading this perek in the year 2026, when we're sandwiched between two eras of anti-Semitism and trying to comprehend our place with the non-Jews. Let's take a look and see if we can find something which will resonate with us today. Pasuk Aleph describes the other nations' non-belief when they see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires Am Yisrael, a nation who they have oppressed and downtrodden and fought to be subhuman all this time, is actually the single nation that Hashem, the creator of the world, most desires. So Pasuk Aleph tells us, Mi he'emin l'shmu'asenu, who would have believed it had we heard it back then? Uzra Hashem al mi niglasa, and upon whom was the hand of Hashem revealed up until now? In other words, Hashem has been looking after them all along, them, this nation who we've thought has been pathetic and nobody. The Malbim explains that it is this exact disbelief which is why Hashem didn't reveal it to them in the first place. If Hashem were to tell the other nations now that we are the chosen nation, they wouldn't believe it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't. And thus Am Yisrael survived millennia of abuse. Pasuk Beis describes us as the Jew in exile, Vaya'al k'yonek lefanav. We rise up like a little sapling before Hashem. And Ibn Ezra says, like a sapling that has no specific form and no specific grandeur to it. K'shoresh me'eretz tzia, like roots from a thirsty land. We can't even implant ourselves and embed ourselves in a deep and meaningful way. Lo to'ar lo v'lo hadar. He didn't have any form, he didn't have any beauty, the Jew. V'nir'ehu, we, the non-Jews, saw him, v'lo mar'eh, v'nechmedehu. We saw him and there was nothing specifically charming or impressive about him. The Jew in exile was not only unimpressive, but more than that. Nivzeh v'chadal ishim, he was despised. And chadal ishim means removed from ish, from being people. There's a couple ways of understanding this. The Masoras David says, no one wanted to have anything to do with him. People turned away from him. He was absent from society, if you will. The Malbim says, chadal ish is talking about the form of the Jew. The Jew did not have the form of a human being. If you think about the Nazi images of Jews, right, and the basis of people thinking that Jews, you know, have long nose or they have horns or whatever it is. Chadal ishim, not a real human being. Ish mechavot v'yodua choli, a human being who is deeply familiar with suffering and disease. Uchemaster panim mimenu, when he hid his face from us. Nivze v'lo chashavnuhu, he was despised and we didn't hold him to be at anything of importance. This is the Jew. The Jew who looks away in shame when he sees other people. Menachem Begin, in his autobiography, talks about how the only person hated more in the communist prisons than the communists was the Jew. And you have to take a moment now to imagine how generations past read the last two psukim, three psukim that we've read, and read it as their reality. People looked at Jews as subhuman. And even though today we're still struggling and battling with the rise in anti-Semitism, we have the luxury of being shocked by anti-Semitism. We have the luxury of being shocked when people describe Jews as not being human beings. Yeshayahu is saying that is the destiny of the Jew in exile. That's how people will see him. In fact, the disease that he is comfortable with, according to Mitzvot David, is the disease of Galus. And according to the Radak, it's the disease of anti-Semitism. And isn't that the same thing? Galus is our anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism is our Galus. But the truth is that when the other nations at the end of time see Am Yisrael, they will see how they perceived Am Yisrael, and then they will realize how wrong they were. And that's going to be Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet starts with the word Achein. Achein, the moment of clarity. Indeed. Chalayenu hunasa, he carried our sins. Umechoavenu savalam, and he endured our suffering. Va'anachnu chashavnuhu nagua muka Elohim umeune, and we considered him to be afflicted by God and somebody we wanted to have nothing to do with. What does it mean that he carried our illness and he carried our suffering? Let's try and understand that. Pasuk Hay is going to talk it out for us. Pasuk Hay says, "V'hu mechulal mipusha'enu, meduka me'avonosenu." He was someone who was wounded by our sins and he was crushed because of our inequities. Musar shlomenu alav. He bore the pain that gave us peace. Uvachavuraso nirpalanu, and through his wounds we were healed. The Ibn Ezra understands this quite simply, that he carried the abuse of anti-Semitism. That is the pain he carried. However, Rashi and the Radak read something different. They understand that Am Yisrael's responsibility as an Or Goyim that we keep speaking about, in the Tzion ideal that Rav Hirsch speaks about, is to be the Bechor, is to be the grown-up of and the firstborn of the whole of humanity, and do planet Earth a favor by bearing inequity, by carrying the responsibility for all of the suffering of all of humanity. We atone for everyone. We are the kapara for humanity on an international level. Rashi so beautifully says this. He said, world peace comes because Am Yisrael are deserving of it, because Am Yisrael hold that. As the Sefer Kuzari says, that the Jewish people are the heart and the rest of the world is the body. And the heart really takes the toll of whatever it is that the body is plagued by. If there's something wrong with various parts, and the heart has to pump harder, work stronger in order to maintain the status quo. And that's this realization. And it really got me thinking, because I think up until recently, this idea of the world being at peace because of Am Yisrael carrying the burden for that was talking about a spiritual reality. We, by keeping mitzvahs and learning Torah, upheld the world. But really, in today's day and age, we really are physically, in not just a spiritual sense, but in mamish, a physical sense, we're doing the whole of planet Earth a favor. We're ridding the world of the evil and wicked, crazy people who want to hurt the whole Western world. And you know what? They hate us for it. The Western world hates us for helping them have their shalom. And therefore, this pasuk really so deeply resonates today. Ubechavuraso nirpelanu. Through us hiding in our bomb shelters and losing our sons, fighting battles against evil, nirpelanu, the whole world is a much safer and much better place. And through this clarity, the other nations will say, kulanu katzon ta'inu. We went astray like sheep. Ish ledarko paninu. Each person going their own way. How can they either be like sheep or each go their own way? The Radak says they're like sheep without a shepherd, each person chasing their own tivers, but ultimately like sheep, not thinking about the circumstances and not thinking about the consequences. People hate Jews because it's popular to hate Jews. Everybody going along the way of hating Jews. V'Hashem hifkia bo es avon kulanu. And yet, despite their hatred, HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited upon him, the Jew, the sins of everybody else. And what does Am Yisrael do? Pasuk Zayin, Nigas v'hu ne'ene. He was mistreated and he was submissive. V'lo yiftach piv, and he didn't open his mouth. Kaseh letevach yuval, as a sheep taken to the slaughter. U'karachel lifnei gozzeha, or like a sheep about to be sheared. Ne'elama, who is silent. V'lo yiftach piv, and doesn't open its mouth. This is a difficult pasuk to learn. It's a difficult pasuk because it's outrageous, and at the same time, it's a difficult pasuk because it's true. The Jew in exile, who continually and consistently, lo yiftach piv, doesn't open his mouth. The Ibn Ezra says it's repeated twice, lo yiftach piv, because that is the continuous state of the Jewish people. And we don't open our mouths to our enemies, perhaps. And as infuriating as it is when we see it happening now, we have to realize that this is the destiny of a Jew. This is what it means to be in Galus. And at the same time, perhaps what's intended is v'lo yiftach piv, that we also don't open our mouths to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to demand that this right, wrong be righted, because we understand that this is what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. And v'lo yiftach piv, we accept it. I remember after the 7th of October asking a student of mine who was on the journey of conversion if she still wants to be Jewish. And she said to me, are you kidding me? Now's the first time that I actually feel Jewish. That's the tragedy of Sefer Yeshayahu. That's the tragedy of Jewish history, is that as we read these prophetic visions, their truth is so painful, and at the same time, their truth is so validating. Pasuk Tes tells us something ambiguous. There's going to be a couple ways of reading it. Pasuk Tes says, "V'yitein es rasha'im kivro, v'es asher b'motav." He gave the wicked his grave, and the rich his death. Al lo chamas, for no reason, asa, he did this. V'lo mirma piv, and he has not spoken falsehood. He didn't deserve it. The Radak reads this as, he died instead of converting to other religions. He gave the other people his death. In other words, he allowed the Rasha'im to bury him rather than becoming a non-Jew. However, the Malbim says, he died the death of a Rasha. He died a miser's death. He died disdained and disregarded, his body thrown aside like nothing. He died the death and the burial of a wicked person, despite not deserving it. And that's, again, the unfairness of Jewish history really is being screamed out from this pasuk. The perek ends with three psukim, which can be understood in a couple of different ways. I'm going to read it according to the Malbim, because as we say Yeshayahu is kulo nechimta, it's all nechama. And the way that the Malbim reads these three psukim is really of nechama, even though others read it as part of the criticism or the tragedy of the Jew in exile. Pasuk Yod reads as follows: V'Hashem chafetz dak'o hecheli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. Hecheli could mean illness, but the way that the Malbim reads it is that it means to heal. And to appease. And so, V'Hashem chafet dak'o hecheli is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to appease this oppressed Jew of exile. Im tasim asham nafsho, despite the fact that his soul was found guilty and was treated horribly in his lifetime, yir'eh zera ya'arich yamim, his children will have extended days. V'chafet Hashem b'yado yitzlach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow his hand to be successful in the long run, as his children will come home and will rebuild. There is nothing more powerful, more hopeful, than a Jew going to Auschwitz and making a bracha, Baruch Sha'asan Nisim La'avosa B'makom Hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for making miracles for my forefathers at this place, and to walk out of that place. Ya'arich Zera Yamim. It is our continued existence and our mission which really gives nechama to the people whose lives have been lost. But not only that, it's not just, says the Malbim, enough that there is a future, that there is zera, there is offspring, but even the person himself can somehow reach some level of comfort in his lifetime for his suffering in exile. And that's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Me'amal nafsho yir'eh. From his own amelos, his own toil of his giving up his own life, he should also see something good. Yisba b'da'ato yatzdik tzedek. He'll be satisfied and satiated in the fact that he'll see that through his da'as, through his actions, yatzdik tzedek, the righteous person will see righteousness. Avdi l'rabim, he'll be an eved, a servant. He's going to say that he sees himself as a servant to the multitudes. Va'avonasam hu yisbol, and he bears their suffering. In other words, says the Malbim, it is when this tzaddik of exile dies, al kiddush Hashem, and sees that his death is a source of inspiration for people to realize what it means to live al kiddush Hashem. When he realizes that he is the reason why others are chozer b'tshuva, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we read the letters of the Chayalim who've lost their lives, and their last request is, love Am Yisrael, reach out to another Jew, bring peace. What they're realizing is the legacy is not just their children, it's not just their offspring. Their legacy is the mitzvahs which come in response to their loss. That's what it means to Dal Kiddush Hashem, and that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to the Jew of the exile. Pasuk Yud Beis, Lachen Echelek Lo Berabim, I will give him the schar of the rabbim, of the many, because through his single death, many people will be inspired to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, our perek has taken us from the disbelief of the other nations as they realize how much Hashem loves us, and their humility as they realize how we have suffered, not just because of their punches as a punching bag, but also in order to bring the whole state of the world to a higher level of peace and goodness. And through that, we will have a great nechama, and the nechama of the movement that comes as a result of loss will be something which will be provided to all those who have died al Kiddush Hashem through every generation. Thank you for learning with me today. L'refua shalema Yonina Sima bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara, Ula Pitsue Tzahal, Achenu Hayakarim, B'toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Nina V'chaim Shenka.